Well, today, Turkey's president called on opposition parties to respect the results of this week's referendum, which grant the president sweeping new powers. The referendum won by a narrow margin, 51-49%, and opposition groups are calling for a recount. President Trump called Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan yesterday to congratulate him, but many experts worry that the country is sliding from democracy into authoritarian rule. Joining us now is one of those people, Stephen Cook. He's a senior fellow for Middle East and Africa Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations and an expert on Turkish politics. Stephen, welcome.
Pleasure to join you.
And were you surprised by this close referendum result?
I'm not totally surprised. Turkey is a country that is polarized. President Erdogan only won about 52% of the vote in his 2014 presidential election. But of course, the playing field in the run-up to the referendum was hardly level. The ruling Justice and Development Party dominated the airwaves. Opponents of Yes were harassed and intimidated. And it seems that given all of that, the 51% is an underperformance for President Erdogan and the Justice and Development Party.
Do you think the results themselves are legit, though?
Well, there is enough evidence already of questionable electoral activity on the part of the Justice and Development Party and their supporters to warrant the opposition to demand a recount, to seek redress in the Turkish Constitutional Court, although they'll have no standing there, and then ultimately perhaps take it to the European Court of Human Rights. All that being said, it's very unlikely that the results will be reversed.
What do you think of President Trump calling Erdogan and congratulating him on this victory?
Well, it certainly puts the United States in some interesting company, along with the leadership of Hamas, the Palestinian terrorist organization, the Palestinian Authority, the leaders of Djibouti and Turkmenistan. Even Vladimir Putin had not called President Erdogan by the time that President Trump placed his telephone call. My sense is, though, that there is a lot of tension in the U.S.-Turkish relationship over the fight against ISIS in Syria, where the United States has aligned itself with Syrian Kurdish groups that the Turks regard as terrorists, and that President Trump, in his call to President Erdogan, may have been seeking to mitigate those tensions as operations against the Islamic State ramp up, and of course, as the U.S. military continues to work with the dominant Syrian Kurdish fighting force called the People's Protection Units, which the Turks, as I said, consider to be a terrorist organization that is a threat to Turkey's security and stability.
The U.S. has a lot of interests in Turkey. It is a very important country strategically. It's close to a lot of countries that we're involved with right now in varying ways. And it's a Muslim democracy, or at least it's a democracy right now. And you write in Foreign Policy, "Rip Turkey, 1921-2017, that Erdogan's win closes a chapter of Turkey's modern history." Let's first talk about what modern Turkey was post-Ataturk. What do you feel is going to go away?
Well, the point of the article was to suggest that way back in 1921, when the Turkish parliament, the new nationalist parliament of Turkey, issued the Law on Fundamental Organization, they were setting out the principles of what we think of as a modern state, as a modern polity. This was a dramatic break from the Ottoman Empire and the Sultan, who wielded unquestioning power, was vested both with political and religious legitimacy. And the Turkish state, as we know it, has never been truly a democracy. At best, it was an imperfect democracy, but there was always that aspiration that successive Turkish constitutions laid out principles and ideals that were democratic, and Turks have over time internalized democratic practices. So there was always that hope that this imperfect republic that could be repressive and at times violent would evolve into a democracy. And that there was great hope for that when the Justice and Development Party actually came to power and began undertaking reforms that aligned with European Union norms and principles. However, what President Erdogan and his Justice and Development Party have done through this referendum is basically undermine those organizational principles going back to 1921 and have undermined the checks and balances in Turkey's political system and given President Erdogan sweeping powers, powers that are reminiscent to the kinds of powers that the Ottoman sultans had.
I have one more thing I want to ask you about. With all of this and what we're hearing about Erdogan and Turkey moving towards authoritarianism, we can't forget the fact that Turkey has taken in so many of the refugees that Europe wouldn't accept from Syria and other places. What does that say to you?
Oh, well, you know, this is one of the things that is hidden behind all of the criticism of Turkey's deepening authoritarianism, the acceleration of the purge that has been going on since at least the failed coup last July, is that the Turks have opened their borders to 3 million refugees, most of them from Syria, and have upheld international standards in trying to care for these people. The Turks deserve a lot of credit for that. And Turkey has positioned itself in its region and beyond as a leader of the Muslim world and has demonstrated this caring for, this solidarity with fellow Muslims. When no one else was in Somalia, for example, Turkish aid and relief workers were there in the name of Muslim solidarity. So there are bright spots to the long rule of the Justice and Development Party. It's not all bad.
That's Stephen Cook, who is a senior fellow for Middle East and Africa Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations. Stephen, thank you.
My pleasure.